Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Pan. How deeply grateful I am you chose to be with me on this beautiful Sunday, June the 17th, 2017. And we're going to be looking at insults today. So I get a lot of emails from people talking about some of my discourses that you see on TV, on Aspire TV, on our website at aspire.org. And sometimes I talk about this whole idea of what Jesus talked about when he said, "Blessed is he who is not offended in me." So we're going to get into what that all means a little bit here, and hopefully that'll help. I want to remind you, of course, how grateful I am to my sponsors who make all of this possible. If it were not for their kindness, their sponsorship, I would not be able to produce or air these radio programs, much less my TV programs, and I want to thank them, and I want to thank you for listening, and I want you to consider the idea of joining us and being a sponsor, because you're enjoying the programs. Hopefully, you're allowing them to serve you well, and if you do, you're going to find that giving and supporting this is very important, because without your support, we could not be here. This message would go dormant. It would be over. So I hope that if you are enjoying our radio programs, you're enjoying our TV programs and everything on the Aspire website at aspire.org, you will help us sustain our efforts. We do everything we can, my sponsors, myself, to make all of this possible. It's really just a two-man show here. And without your help, we could not be able to get the message over, which I think is more important now than ever before. If you go to the website at aspire.org, you will see support. There's a button right there at the top of the page. If you hit that, you will see why support Aspire. And we have a beautiful page there that explains where your donations go, how they're used, and that they are tax deductible. Of course, you will receive a receipt for your income taxes and how to join up and receive all the little blessings that I do, my message of the month, all of the discourses that are available to sponsors, 100 and something, 21 discourses, 22 that are available for you as my free gift on all sorts of subjects, from the Buddha's teachings on the Eightfold Path to the Tao teachings to Zen teachings. They're all there. Even Cahil Gibran and his beautiful work, they're all there for you. You can download them and listen to them, do whatever you want. And on top of that, you get my commentary, my podcast and video cast twice a month. It's a big package, because it's a big deal to put this out into the world. It's very important that it's heard. So I hope you will become a sponsor. Insult. What does it mean when someone is insulted? There is nothing more insulting than listening to a teaching such as the Eightfold Path. It can be very insulting. Beatitudes of Jesus, the Tao Te Ching. You can take insult to anything that you want. Just anything can be insulting. But probably the biggest insult is to see what we're doing to ourselves in this world and to our planet. If you have not read the book Sapien, you really need to read the book Sapien. It will clarify everything, and it will give you a sense of where we're at, what we are like as human animals, which is what we are. I know we don't like to think of ourselves that way, but we are. And it will clarify some things about daily living that need to be clarified. And I hope you read the book. I'm on my third pass. I've read the second book. It's all very interesting, very powerful, transforming, actually. As one of my students said to me last night as we were having dinner, it helps him meditate. He says when those thoughts come by of silliness about right, wrong, good, bad, up, down, he remembers what was written by this anthropologist, and it's a very, very interesting. He doesn't lay out philosophy. He offers insight, real positive insight into what it means scientifically to be a sapien, a homo sapien, which is what we, our physical bodies are. Anyway, you will enjoy the book. You're going to be totally insulted by it. There are things in there that are just not what human beings want to hear. And then that's the problem with us human beings. We only want to hear what we want to hear. And we only want to listen to what we want to listen to. And here is some examples of this from people who have written me. The first one comes from Janice, and she lives in Los Angeles. Why study or do something that insults a person, Greg? I do yoga because it is positive. How does your method help the world, Janice? Janice, authentic yoga is not a philosophy or an exercise. Authentic yoga is a movement, a profound state where the movement of the body is in correlation with the breath and bringing about deep insight. When this insight hits, you're going to see many things about the way you and I have lived, and it could be very, very disheartening. The human heart is not a noble creature. The human heart is built and functions as separate from the spiritual heart, the authentic heart. The human heart is only interested in its own life, its own methods, its own beliefs, its own well-being. That's all it cares about. It wants someone and something to make it feel better or make it feel good. So it is not the sum and substance of a person's life. It is not. But we make it so. We make the whole idea of the human heart the major point of our life, which is to give it that positive spin that most people want. What is it to be positive, Janice? Is it to lie to you? Is it to tell you that everything is groovy, that there is no global warming, that we did not cause it, that we are full of hate? Oh, no, we can't say that. We are not full of hate. We're only full of love. We only care about each other. We only forgive. We don't do all those things. We believe in pride and vengeance. Even racism in this country is huge. In this world is huge. You would have thought we got rid of that years ago. But no. No, no, no. It's everywhere. So when you start looking at a person's life and living in this world, you just want it to be positive because you do a few asanas and you think that that's going to change things or make things positive. Life is neither positive nor negative, and yet it contains both the positive and the negative. It is the middle road that you want. The road far less traveled, where love is more important than opinion. Where I am not trying to get my opinions fulfilled. I'm not trying to have an opinion. I'm not trying to believe in things that make my human heart happy. For as much joy as you think you're getting out of your human heart, I should say probably happiness, you're going to find that that same human heart brings about great disappointment. It's going to create tragedies in your life, and you won't even know what it is because you didn't go through the process of recognizing what it means to live strictly for the gratification of the human heart. This is a very big mistake that I make and you make in the course of our lifetime, and it has determined how our life is going to be, how it's going to turn out, and the way it's going to be lived. You would think that you would want to know the truth over the positivity. truth is not always positive. Rarely. In accordance with how I live with my human heart. In fact, the more I hear the truth, the more my human heart gets angry. This email you sent me was probably written out of the human heart. It was emotional. You wanted to confront. That's the human heart. And the human heart is always defending itself because it's never in a place where a person can live in healing or live in love or live in kindness. It's always a fight. That's why. We are living in bodies that are only interested in survival. And everything we do in our body is to survive. If you look at your psychology, and I don't know how old you are, Janice, but psychology can only go so far, and then it stops. It can only go so far from A to B, according to my genetic disposition and yours. So my thoughts can only go so far. They're going to be so good or so negative or so positive or so not so positive. They can only go so far. And then they repeat over and over and over again. They don't change. They don't mature. They don't grow. They don't fulfill. They're just thoughts that go from point A to point B, and they never get any better. Your psychology, if you will notice, is probably very much the same as your parents and very much the same as when you were a little girl. It doesn't change. Nothing changes in psychology. And the human heart does not change. It has the same prejudice. It has the same fears. It has the same angers. It has the same desires. And it never changes either. Isn't that a suspicion in you? Well, it's not. And that's the problem. We're not suspicious of our own psychology, the way we think. That's very insulting. And the reason we are the way we are with that is because we don't want to change. We don't want to challenge ourselves. We don't want to see what we could be doing that could be detrimental to ourselves, to others, and the planet even. We don't want to know. And, of course, the media, you know, does a good job of that, helping us not know. So there you are. Why live for something that never changes, that can't change? Why not live in the unfoldment of the authentic heart? Why not transcend thinking and go beyond mind? And go beyond the idea of A and B and C and D and stop right there. Why not transcend the whole thing and see what's on the other shore of our inner being? In doing that, you're going to be insulted. In doing that, you're going to see thoughts that are outmoded, thoughts that are inventions. They're just purely inventions. We make up every thought. We make up every theory. You could say I'm making this up if you wanted to say that, but try what I'm saying and see how it's not, because it will thoroughly insult you to realize how off the mark you and I are and have been. And once you understand that, then you can make some serious changes that help the world and serve humankind. That's what my work is all about. It's not for everybody. Blessed is he who is not insulted in me. Please forgive me. Namaste. Great question, Janice. The next one is from Lynn, and she lives in Las Vegas, Nevada. She said, Greg, I'm not interested in anything that is not positive and helps me go further in my life. By further, meaning to accomplish my goals. So what good is a work such as yours that insults people? Lynn. Lynn, you got to break a few eggs to make an omelet. And I don't have any problem with my own, what do I want to say, insult. When I see what I'm doing or have done and I realize the damage it's done, I don't get hurt. I get remorseful and I change it. I immediately see what has happened, the way it has happened and why it has happened, and how I have used certain elements in me of my human traits. And I realize, you know, this was not a good thing to do. This was not in keeping with the flow of my heart, my authentic heart. So I don't have a problem with that. And that's what I'm teaching you. I'm not teaching you shame or guilt or anger or vengeance or pride. I am saying to you, go beyond what you think is positive. Go further inside yourself. Go deeper. Yes, you're going to find, you know, little difficulties. You're going to find how far your thoughts can go. How far, Lynn, can your thoughts go? How deep can they go? What can my thoughts encounter, allow me to encounter, and at the same time encompass a great deal of love? I can't have thoughts of love. Not as a human being. I can have thoughts of romance. I can have thoughts of Pollyanna stuff. Everybody lives happily ever after. You know, you can watch Love Actually until your eyeballs fall out and you think you've got it made. And, oh, that's how it works. That's how love works. Blah, blah. You can do all sorts of things like that. But that isn't going to change anything in your life. That isn't going to change your relationship with your authentic heart. And it isn't going to change your relationship with your human heart, which is always egging us on, all of us, for some desire, some ambition, some pride, some vengeful act that we want to make that we have spun around in our minds to make it look like we're innocent and, you know, doing noble things when we're not, venerable things then when we're not. So you can use your mind as an excuse maker, which is what I find most of us do. We make excuses for the things we do and the way we do them. And we just keep that going on and on and on, and never using the focus of our mind upon the heart. Because when you get to the authentic heart, the mind stops. Absolutely stops. And it starts to become something else. Instead of the originator or the interpreter of my emotions, my mind, when I am in the authentic heart, becomes meditative. It becomes open. It becomes a place where the clouds can pass through the sky, but the clouds are not the sky themselves. And pretty soon, that emptiness that we talk about in Zen, the emptiness where the mind is no longer clinging to thoughts and beliefs and ideals, is no more. A new mind is born in that. And that is what it's all about, a new mind. A mind not wanting to go right or left or up or down. A mind that is simply a no mind. In meditation, when the mind comes to that place where it is no longer caught in the psychology of thought, we become different people. We become conscious. And that is the definition of consciousness. Once you have attained to that, you have changed everything in the ebb and flow of your life. Now you are living according to the matter of love, the principle of love, rather than the matter of just getting what you want and desire and ambition, pride, vanity. This is what the world needs now. The world doesn't need another thing. It just doesn't need another thing, an object, or any of those kind of, you know, gadgety ideas that we have about, wouldn't it be great if we had a this or a that? What we need first, before we have anything, we have to understand and establish love in our life. This can be very insulting because the human mind, along with the human heart, is very possessive of thoughts, beliefs, and attitudes that it deems important in life. It makes us a very pedestrian person, very limited. And sad to say, Lynn, that most of us don't go any further in our life than that. It is very, very sad indeed. But it doesn't have to be that way. Thank you for your beautiful question. Please forgive me. Namaste. And the last question comes from Francis in San Francisco. Do you believe in the future of our world? If so, don't you think being positive would help? Francis. Francis, read Sapien and grow up. That's all I can say. You have to see the effect that you and I and our ancestries have had upon this world. And whether or not it has a future or not, is not in my hands. It isn't about being positive. It's about being authentic. It's about being real. It's about seeing the bigger picture. It is about what is happening, what is and what ain't, as I like to say. And if you don't know the difference between what is and what ain't, then you're never going to understand the nature of yourself, this life, or where this could all lead to. We are taking ourselves down a path that is very destructive. We don't care. We get in our cushiony little cars and our cushiony little houses, and we turn on our cushiony little TVs, and we transport ourselves into a fantasy world that does not exist in this human life, but we want to believe it does. And that's what we call our future. What is our future? Well, no one can really know for sure. No one. But you can see, even through logic and reasoning, the progression of how selfishness, pride, and vanity have made this world and where this world could head if we don't turn it around within ourselves first. Now, whether or not we're going to do that is up to us as individuals. You can only do what you can do. And if you are wise, you will do those things that make love possible and not fall into the trap of believing that you couldn't have done something in this world to serve humankind. Spiritual work, real inner work, this is not religion. This is not a philosophy I am teaching here. This is a path of life. This is finding living in a lifetime. It is living life. Living it as compassion, as love, as wisdom. You have to understand the teachings of life. And they give these teachings to us every day through all sorts of various methods where we have to accelerate and practice compassion, forgiveness, and mercy. Who are they? Well, everyone we meet, everything we meet. This whole life is about a certain quality of consciousness that we can develop, not something that you have to go out and defend yourself in. Once you achieve a sense of consciousness, once you start questioning yourself a little bit and being insulted by maybe your own attitude and seeing how, well, in opposition to love it really is, that is when you start to mature and you start to realize the limits of your own psychology and beliefs. I got to get out of here. I'm running out of time. I'm sorry. Please forgive me, Francis. Namaste. If you have a comment, a question, or something, you can email me at greg@aspire.org, or better yet, come to the website at aspire.org and peruse around and see media. When you see media, you'll see Satsang with Siraj. That's radio. That's me. And you can go there and listen to past radio programs. There are literally hundreds of them up there. And you can also email me from there and listen to future radio programs as well as current. As well as past. They're all there for you. Have a beautiful day. Thank you for listening. And please forgive me, eh? Namaste.